Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's take a quick preview of the docket. First, an update on the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters. A hearing is set for just a couple of days from now. Amber Heard breaks her silence, and she comes out swinging. The abuse of the corpse charge. Yes, that means one thing, usually a precursor to much more serious charges. An update on the grave site littering case. Michael Avenatti, guess what? He wants to plead guilty open. I'll explain what that means. Uvalde, is there a cover-up? And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell. Well, the court has issued an amended order for Lori Vallow's trial date that will now commence in early January of 2023. If you'd like to hear further discussions about why that could be problematic for the prosecution, if there's an issue on speedy trial, you can look at the previous videos that we've done on that case. But what is the issue today? Well, it's an interesting little development. There have been several motions that have been filed by the defense in this particular case for Chad DeBell. We've got motions going back to May 20th, a motion on May 24th, May 25th, June 1st, and June 6th. And I said to myself, self, why is it that nobody wants the public to know what the heck is going on? So one of the first motions to seal filed by the state was the state of Idaho puts forth before the court a motion to seal its motion to deny defendant's motions without a hearing due to failure to comply with Idaho Criminal Rule 12 for the following reasons. One, the interest of privacy as predominant over the public interest disclosure based upon the motion filed in response to the defendant's motion were filed under seal. Sealing said document is the least restrictive measure consistent with the privacy interest at issue, and sealing these documents during the pendency of the criminal investigation is the best interest of justice. Whew, that is a lot. Okay, so then I go back and try to figure out, well, why are they so interested? What is the issue that is being put forth? And the motion keeps coming back as it relates to motions that were filed by Mr. Pryor on behalf of Mr. DeBell regarding motions to unseal three motions regarding prosecutorial authority, objections to motion to strike, and objections to state's exhibits in the memorandum until such time as the court may determine. What the heck does all that mean? Well, you have to go back even further. A motion to seal the state's objection to brief in response to defendant Chad DeBell's two motions on APA Smith, motion for discovery and dismiss on the state's objections and briefs in response to defendant Chad DeBell's motion to disqualify the prosecutor. Boy, that's a mouthful, right? Couldn't they just say response to the defendant's motion to disqualify the assistant prosecutor, Ms. Smith? That's what they could have said. That is a bunch of legal nonsense when we get into stuff like that. It is unnecessary, confusing, and they wonder why people don't trust lawyers when they start talking like lawyers. Just talk to the people like people, okay? Simple. It appears as though Mr. Pryor, on behalf of Chad DeBell, is still trying to get the prosecutors dismissed. Mr. Wood, as well as the Ms. Smith, who was brought in from the state of Missouri to assist in this particular case. I'll be honest with you. I went back and looked at Idaho Criminal Rule of Procedure to see what they could possibly be talking about. And it says any pretrial motions and objections or requests can be determined without the trial of the general issue may be raised before the trial by motion. The defense objects based upon defects in the prior proceedings in the prosecution. Well, but we don't know. We can't see the motions. And I got a real problem with this. Okay. This is a public case in the public arena. It should be made public. It's unfortunate if sometimes people are involved in a homicide case and there may be things that come out that are embarrassing. Well, guess what? It's a freaking homicide case. Okay. Sometimes people are going to be embarrassed. Privacy interest. You're a witness in a case. Yeah, we don't want your social security number. We don't need your location. But generally what somebody may say, I think, is generally open to a court file, and we should all have access to it. I don't like the way the state of Idaho seals everything at the quickest whim. The judge does have to remind everybody at some point that these are public proceedings, and it can't be public if we can't see what exactly is going on. So the only thing I could possibly see is some basis that there's still a claim that there's a defect in the charging documents. But unfortunately, the judge has already ruled upon that issue, which was basically that there were defects before the grand jury. But the prosecution is saying he didn't raise them in time under Rule 12, where you can raise just about everything pre-trial. And so here we are. It'd be a lot easier to discuss, and I apologize if I seem like I'm somewhat rambling, but it's just so frustrating that everybody wants to talk in some coded language there in Idaho. Now, under Rule 12, also under 12D, motions under 12B, which is basically there's defects in the indictment, must be filed within 28 days after the entry of a plea and not more than 7 days before the trial, whichever is earlier. So I'm not really sure if that is what they're trying to argue. And it says in felony cases, motions under Rule B must be brought on for a hearing within 14 days after filing or 48 hours before trial, whichever is earlier. This case is set out for so long. We're coming up on 3 years already. Really, that's the best argument the prosecution has is, oh, they didn't file within 14 days of filing of the indictment. Come on. The prosecution is the ones that kept saying that they needed additional time to prepare, and the discovery was voluminous. So there's your Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell update. There is a hearing set for the 15th. We will try to bring it to you, but it looks as though it's going to be, once again, sealed. So the public doesn't have any idea what is going on in this case of interest. We'll continue to follow it, and we'll try to decipher from the court's motions and rulings what exactly is taking place. Quick reminder, subscribe if you haven't, like the video if you do, leave a comment below, and hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or we put up a new post. And remember, that's right, you can always listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting apps at any time. Amber Heard, she breaks her silence and she comes out swinging. All right, she's talking about, for lack of a better term, getting her butt kicked at that defamation trial against actor Johnny Depp. And like I said, she's spoken for the first time since the jury ruled ultimately in Mr. Depp's favor. Now, Heard has spoken out about the verdict against her in a three-part interview with the Today Show, claiming that the unfair verdict was the result of biased social media representation. Now, Ms. Heard flew to New York City on a private jet to conduct the interview, doubled down on accusations made by her lawyer last week the jury was swayed by social media, while also suggesting that they were won over by Depp's excellent acting on the stand. Now, Ms. Heard said, even somebody who is sure I'm deserving of all of this hate and vitriol, even if you think I'm lying, you still couldn't look me in the eye that you think on social media there's been a fair representation. You cannot tell me that you think this has been fair. Now, Ms. Heard went on to say that she doesn't blame the jury for the decision, saying she actually understands that he's a beloved actor and people feel that they know him. He's a fantastic actor, Heard added, and that she understood the decision because the jury had to listen to 3.5 weeks of testimony about how she is not a credible person and not believe a word that came out of her mouth. Now, throughout the trial, social media was flooded with posts about legal proceedings, with the majority being shared in support of Depp under the hashtag Justice for Johnny Depp. But despite insisting that social media played a key role in the outcome of the trial, Heard claimed that she isn't taking any negative public opinions about her personally, insisting that she doesn't care what anyone thinks about her. Amber said, I don't care what anyone thinks about me or what judgments you want to make out what happened in the privacy of my own home in my marriage behind closed doors, she told Savannah Guthrie. I don't presume the average person should know those things, so I don't take it personally. So, although Amber Heard doesn't take the case personally against her. She thinks the jurors got it wrong. Little bit of advice there, Amber Heard. Yeah, you don't usually go around criticizing the jury, okay? It's not going to change anything. I get that. But the reality of it is, you say, I respect the jury. We don't believe that, you know, the evidence that came in was appropriate, and we look forward to our chances on appeal. Something to that effect. You don't say that the jurors were duped by the plaintiff in the case, who is basically a better actor than she claims that she was. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, Johnny Depp got $10 million for the compensatory damages, $5 million on the punitive damages, which was reduced to $350,000. So we really got $10,350,000. That's right. She owes $8,350,000. Some say Johnny Depp doesn't want it. I think I've even heard Johnny Depp say he doesn't want the money. He wants the money. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out. All right. Next on the docket, if you want to listen to Crime Talk on the go, we're available on all podcasting apps. Leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you love the show. All right. Abuse of corpse usually leads to much more serious offense. Well, please meet Mr. Redden. He may be heading to some more serious charges. He's been charged with abuse of a corpse after he unknowingly supplied police with home surveillance footage that showed him dragging the lifeless body of a 38-year-old woman through his house. Now, Mr. Redden, 51, allegedly wrapped the corpse of Stephanie Shenefield in a sheet before dragging her lifeless body to his car and driving it to a ditch where he tossed her remains. Now, it's unclear how the woman became deceased. The Manatee Sheriff's Office in Florida said that Shenefield took an Uber to the home of Redden, an alleged drug dealer, around 1:20 a.m. on June 3rd. At some point in the night, Shenefield, who is the mother of two, died inside the house, and Redden allegedly disposed of her body instead of calling for help. Redden, an eight-time convicted felon, told detectives that Shenefield stayed at the house that night but left the next morning. The detectives then asked Redden if they could take the DVR from the surveillance cameras on the inside and exterior of the house. He said the cameras don't record inside his house and are only on live monitoring. He tells the officers they don't record inside the residence. He was wrong. Thankfully, he's ignorant and didn't know that because, well, it worked out for the investigators. To the investigators' surprise, the videos unveiled the final moments of Shenefield's life and provided hints as to how her body ended up in the ditch. Mr. Redden then can be seen dragging the body throughout the house and loading it into the car before driving off. Now, two people walking their dog found Shenefield's body decomposed in about 12-foot drainage ditch near the railroad tracks where the body was dumped. The body was found on June 9th. The police called Mr. Redden a piece of crap for not calling law enforcement to try to save Shenefield. They also said that he's done a lot of things, but that is not in his character. Mr. Redden's been charged with abuse of corpse, possession of a firearm by a felon, and possession of an altered firearm. Shocking. He knew he shouldn't possess that firearm, but yet you think it looks like he just ignored the law. Additional charges are expected to be brought as the investigation continues. The sheriff's office will continue to investigate this case. They believe additional charges will be filed, and they say that their heart breaks for Stephanie. Now, Mr. Redden is being held in the Manatee County Jail on a $108,000 bond, undoubtedly probably going to increase. If she died of natural causes, I guess he's fine. If she died of a drug overdose, that could be problematic for him. If there's some evidence of foul play, certainly that's even greater evidence for him against him. That will certainly play out in court. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie.
So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked.
All right, an update on the grave littering case. Do you remember that one? Well, an Alabama man by the name of Winston Hagens was found guilty by a court judge after his fiance's father brought charges against him for leaving flower boxes at his fiance's grave. Winston Hagens reportedly placed boxes of flowers on his fiance Hannah Ford's grave on multiple occasions. Ford died in January of 2021 in a car crash 2 months after she and Hagens had become engaged. The case was brought by Hagens' father, Dr. Tom Ford, who did not approve of the daughter's relationship with Mr. Hagens. The charges were brought under an Alabama law that allows citizens to obtain arrest warrants, and the court was told Hagens left 10 planters of flowers on the grave, which Dr. Ford either returned or removed. Dr. Ford said that the first box that was placed at the grave was a rotten piece of wood with some pictures on it, so he discarded it. Municipal prosecutor Justin Clark read the Auburn Parks and Recs rules to the court. Settees, urns, boxes, shelves, toys, and other similar items may not be placed or maintained on any lot or grave. Judge McLaughlin said it was a clear case of violation of this deed and violation of littering statute, McLaughlin noted. The box does not occur naturally in nature. It is a foreign substance, whether it's pretty or not, is not a consideration for this court. Judge Jim McLaughlin ruled Hagens must pay $251 in court costs plus a $50 charge for littering. Hagens also received a suspended sentence of 30 days in the county jail if he doesn't pay those fines and, well, doesn't go back and continue to litter. It's a gateway crime, ladies and gentlemen. First, you start putting mementos on your fiance's gravesite. Next thing you know, you're probably robbing banks, plotting against America. Where does it end? Stop the madness. Stop it, please. Some more madness. Michael Avenatti, he wants to plead guilty open. I'll explain what that means. He wants to plead guilty to federal charges and admit to stealing millions of dollars from his clients, according to some paperwork that was filed this weekend. Now, the prosecutors allege that from 2015 to 2019, Avenatti stole nearly $10 million in settlement funds from at least five of his clients. Mr. Avenatti, who is already in custody for crimes committed against Nike and former client Stormy Daniels, asked the federal judge in Southern California to schedule a video hearing to accept his change of plea in this case. Now, earlier this month, Avenatti was sentenced to 4 years in prison for pocketing money from a publisher that was supposed to go to Stormy Daniels for her book that included details about an alleged affair that she had with Donald Trump before he was president. Avenatti was also convicted in 2020 of extortion, transmission of interstate communications with intent to extort, and wire fraud in connection with threats he made against Nike. He was sentenced to 2.5 years for those crimes and will serve another 2.5 for the Daniels matter once the Nike time is done. In this matter, Avenatti, who is acting as his own primary counsel, said that he intends to plead guilty open, which would allow the judge to set punishment without any plea agreement by and with the prosecutors. Avenatti's advisory counsel, H. Dean Stewart, wrote in the motion, "Despite repeated efforts over the last year by Mr. Avenatti and his counsel, including substantial effort made in the last 30 days, defendant has been unable to reach a plea agreement with the government. Mr. Avenatti wishes to plea in order to be accountable, accept responsibility, avoid his former clients being further burdened, save the court and the government significant resources, and save the family further embarrassment." You know, Avenatti, you gotta admit, the guy's got guts, that's for sure. But let me explain to you. Everybody always thinks they need a plea agreement with the prosecutor. Now, when you have multiple charges, you like to get a plea agreement so that maybe you plead guilty to one charge and they dismiss the remaining charges. But if you got one charge or multiple charges and the prosecutors just simply can't agree on anything, then you can say, fine, I'll go in open, because whatever plea bargain you're offering or concession that you're offering isn't any worse than I would do on my own. So basically, all that means is that Avenatti has probably run the federal sentencing guidelines. He knows about where he's going to come out, whether he pleads guilty to one count or multiple counts, because they'll merge together for sentencing purposes. And if the prosecutor's not willing to make a recommendation, frankly, it looks like good on Mr. Avenatti. He's willing to accept responsibility, do what he can to get these matters set behind him, and move forward. So, little bit of a risk, but understand, in the federal system, once you plead guilty, whether the prosecutor's plea agreement recommends a particular sentence, it's simply a recommendation. The judge ultimately has the ultimate discretion to sentence below the recommendation that the prosecutor is asking for, or all the way up to the maximum penalty allowed by statute. So Avenatti's gambling. He is a gambler, no doubt. Probably gives lawyers a really bad name, you know, for stealing their money and just being an all-around kind of a bad dude. But at the end of the day, he's willing to step up. Sounds like he wants to get his time done, probably so he can get back to being a TV analyst as soon as he's released. Next, Uvalde. The city of Uvalde is trying to cover up records on the top cop who led the bungled police response to the active shooter situation at the elementary school last month. Lawyers hired by Uvalde wrote to State Attorney General Ken Paxton trying to get out of disclosing information under the state's sunshine laws. In the letter, attorneys at Denton, Navarro, Rocha, Bernal, and Zeck revealed 148 requests for information had been made to the city from May 25th through June 7th of 2020 by media organizations as well as individuals. The city claims it has no obligation to give up any information of any of the requests, listing 52 excuses in the letter that says it's let off the hook under the requirements of the Texas Public Information Act. Among the information Uvalde local government is trying to hide are any of the records Pete Arredondo, the Uvalde School District Police Chief, who was in charge of the police response to the shooting at the Robb Elementary School last month that led to 21 deaths. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, why can't the government just turn over the documents for the people? I get their sunshine laws for that various reason. Sunshine is the ultimate disinfectant. If people have access to records, they can hold people accountable. And somebody needs to be held accountable. I cannot think of a single person that's resigned or been fired. It's the classic governmental situation. Heck, he'll probably get a promotion any day now. Get him out of there. Let's promote him up. Seen it too many times in the government, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Our dumb criminal from last week, the big winner, the couple who crashed head-on into traffic because the driver was reportedly receiving an intimate service from the passenger. The driver apparently suffered some injuries to his private area. Ouch. Our dumb criminal of today for today is Justin Mikowalski, who was laying on the sidewalk in St. Petersburg, Florida. He refused medical attention from police care, eventually skateboarding away in the middle of the road. Concerned that Mikowalski might not be able to find his way home and being borderline disorderly intoxicated in public, officers followed the man to see if he was going to be okay. Well, he then asked for a ride home. Officers then asked if he had anything illegal on him before he entered the police cruiser, and Mikowalski then voluntarily emptied his pockets and removed marijuana and three bags of cocaine. Mikowalski was charged with possession and bondsman sent at $2,150. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how much easier it would make my job as a defense attorney if every stupid decision you made was defendable because of alcohol? Alcohol, drugs are not a defense in any way. It just highlights much simpler what you're doing wrong. All right. Thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. And don't forget, tomorrow we will be live 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Hope you join us. See you then.